At some point in our lives, we have this deep, heartfelt feeling that something has to change, something fundamental, and that whatever the outcomes, we know that we have to take a new step.
Up until the early 1990s, Don Gamble was a highly respected, top-level environmental consultant. He'd worked with such people as Thomas Berger on some very large, high-profile environmental assessments.
From the McKenzie Valley Pipeline Inquiry, pulp and paper projects in Alberta, with dams in Saskatchewan, the Northern Hydro projects in Manitoba, the Great Lakes.
And yet, something was bugging him, gnawing away at his insides.
A concern that the work that I was doing was no longer nourishing me in the way that it did at the beginning, that I wasn't feeling that level of satisfaction, that I was contributing to good solutions, that this was leading me personally where I wanted to go.
That discomfort came to a head at a 1992 meeting with top officials at the World Bank in Washington. Gamble was part of a team presenting the results of an environmental assessment on the Sardar-Sarovar projects, a huge and highly controversial hydro dam planned in India. The team's 350-page report uncovered serious environmental concerns, and they recommended the bank reconsider their $450 million loan for the project. Up to that point, Gamble had always had great respect for the World Bank's commitment to progressive environmental policies. And yet, at that meeting, he felt stonewalled. He felt that his team's careful research was falling on deaf ears.
At that final meeting with the vice president and the senior officials at the bank, I did lose my temper. I became extremely frustrated, and I lost it.
And at the end of that experience at World Bank headquarters, Don Gamble found himself questioning everything he had worked for his entire life.
So here I was faced with an international organization with very good environmental policies, exemplary ones, very good professional staff, no limitations the way we're ordinarily think of them related to financing. And yet the whole thing turned out to be a bit of a charade. And so I remember in the days after that meeting thinking, well, if the World Bank can't do it, even when they declare they're doing it, and if they are resisting it to the degree that we found, then is there any real hope that we're on the right track in these kind of reviews and assessments? And that became very discouraging. And then I had to ask, well, is this the way I want to spend my time now? And I came to the conclusion that it wasn't.
After a difficult night's sleep, Gamble woke up feeling lousy. His spirit and body both ached. He felt he had let his teammates down by losing his cool at the meeting. For comfort, support, and advice, he first called his wife, Patricia, in Ottawa. But his next phone call was to another woman he knew well, someone named Swami Radha.
Well, I called Swami Radha. She ran this ashram in British Columbia. I had known her since the late 70s, and I had spent quite a bit of time at her ashram in British Columbia.
The ashram is the Yashodhara Ashram in the interior of BC.
My wife and I had lived at the ashram in the mid-80s for several years. She had cancer. And we came here hoping that it would make a difference to our relationship and to her healing, and it did.
Swami Radha listened intently to his concerns. And then she ended the conversation by suggesting simply that perhaps he should consider coming back to the ashram. Don Gamble is now known as Swami Sivananda. In his soul-bearing article in the Out of the World issue of Alternatives Journal, Swami G, as he is also known, recounts his complete abandonment of his traditional life in Ottawa and his permanent return to the ashram and a spiritual yogic life.
There's a very precise way of working with dreams in a yogic sense.